Eric.
Adam.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Of course. Thank you for the invitation. So we're in the hot seat today.
You bet. Well, so for those who don't know, you are in your first term
as
city council at large.
Yes.
Right? So you represent the entire community.
All wards. Yeah.
There we go. Well, as someone who represents the entire community, I'd love to hear a little bit about your story. The name of this series is All Roads Lead to Pullman. Something I love about our community is that everybody has an interesting path of how they got here, because no one came to Pullman accidentally.
Nobody.
Right? We all came here for a job, a degree, something to make life better. So what's your road to Pullman? What brought you to our community?
Thank you for that question. In fact, when I was driving here, I know it's move-in weekend, and I drove through campus, and I was, you know, kind of thinking of all the stories that these students are starting on their road to Pullman and where they're taking them. So also with that reflection, I'm 36 years old, and I came to Pullman when I was 18. So I think this year I've lived half of my life in Pullman.
How about that?
It's kind of crazy to think about. And what initially drew me to Pullman was, you know, I was did great in elementary school, high school. Was like, oh, I'm going to go to school for 4 years, graduate, live all my biggest dreams. Little did I know, life does not work out that way. Huh. So I fortunately dropped out when I was a senior. Started working at Schweitzer Engineering, got a great education on just work, manufacturing, living in the workforce, growing up, living on my own, and stuff like that.
There's no education quite like a real job, like
we'll
show up, work a shift.
Yeah, and in fact, I found myself kind of ahead of a lot of my peers who did go for that $40,000, you know, education degree we were talking a little bit about before the cameras rolled on. So it's like, I'm not ashamed of, I don't own a degree. I'm probably the only person in my friend group besides my husband who doesn't have a master's or PhD. So I'm trying to see how far I can go without getting that degree in life.
I get that a little bit. I do have a degree, but all of my roommates in college were some sort of advanced engineer.
Yeah.
And all of my extended family, they're all some kind of engineer or some kind of biologist. And I'm the one who went into communications. And so my memories of college were like all my roommates would have some crazy long take-home final where they'd do amazing advanced math for 6 hours, and I had a Photoshop assignment.
Yeah, but you have that armchair engineer series that you have that outlet. You
it,
can
it worked out, but yeah. I get the social pressure.
Yeah. And so I had a very, I think, just a not normal kind of route to where I am now. I'm still a degreeless professional working at a community college. So I kind of find it kind of humorous.
Fantastic. Well, you could have gone a lot of places, degree or no degree. What made you decide to settle and put roots down here on the Palouse?
Yeah. You know, when thinking about it, it's like, I think I've been watching a lot of your videos, and I don't want to repeat everything that people are saying, but it really is the people. I remember when I look back at kind of young Eric, I'm a completely different person now. I look back and like all the kind of mentors that I had that really steered me into the person I am today. And kind of they just kind of shown me that what a wonderful place Pullman can be. One of my mentors said that, would you rather be a big fish in a big pond or a big fish in a small pond? And I think I wanted to take that to heart. And I love the community. One of my memories is sitting down in front of Neil's and seeing Mike Leach just walk by. You know, he was walking by to campus every day. And I just love
that. Go Cougs.
Yeah, exactly. I just love that intimacy of a small town and the people. You know, if it's early in the morning and I need to get coffee creamer or something, I'm like, oh, I have to dress okay because I'm going to see somebody at Walmart. I can't just go in my pajamas or something. I'm going to see somebody. So I think that's what really keeps me here is the people. And then also when I live off of Terraview, when I'm driving, especially during the summer, and I'm driving down Terraview Hill and you see the sun right above Hopkins Court, I mean, the Palouse is just so beautiful. I know that we've talked about that before.
That might be the one thing that everyone, regardless of political leanings, can agree on. The sunsets here on the Palouse are gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. And one of my biggest memories is walking up Kamiak Butte, and there's not the very top, but kind of the middle top, there's a bench. And I just love sitting down there and just see kind of the patchwork, the ag community there with the sun up. And it's just, it really is so beautiful. And I don't want to sound pretentious or anything, but it really is something. And I think that's what keeps me here most of all.
Yeah. I think the more I travel, the more I'm grateful to have this as a home base.
You said home base, and I think that's what my husband and I are really looking for. You know, we like to travel a lot. He is somebody who likes to travel. He's from Kendrick, Julietta, a small town down south. And
oh, no way.
We wanted some place to kind of call home base, but be able to travel and see the world and do that. And I think Pullman is a great place for that.
It's a great jumping off point. You know, we have a great airport. We have access to the world. If you were able to hop on a plane or if you just need to drive, it's not that far to the city.
Absolutely love it.
Absolutely love it. So switching a little bit to the politics side of things, you're on city council now, but this is not the first seat you've run for.
No.
I've seen your signs up around town for a lot of...
And they've improved. I wish I had you can see the improvement and how more professional my signs have gotten as I advanced. But yeah, I think I was thinking I failed three times, right? I ran for council, auditor, council, and then I think the fourth time I was successful. So
try again.
Yeah, I think more life is more than ever about how you bounce back, your resilience, and I think this last time I convinced myself that if I did not win, I was gonna, you know, hang up the coat and pursue other things, but it worked out this way.
I bet you would have running.
I would be a campaign manager. I just love campaigns. I love elections. I love what it leads to, these types of conversations about people talking about their stories. And I also love the gaming aspect of it. It's 50% plus one. You're trying to get, it's a numbers game basically. And that's why I really like elections.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, but it wasn't just the fact that you ran over and over again. It's not just the fact that you ran over and over again. I remember seeing you at all the right community events. You know, like there's people who have signs up who I have never laid eyes on in my life, but I saw you at Lentil Festival. I saw you at, you know, Civic Trust events. I saw you at Music On Man. I'm like, okay, this guy, even though he doesn't hold the seat, he's vested, which I gotta say, that's why I voted for you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Like, you know, I don't know Eric yet. I know you better now. But at the time I'm like, this guy shows up. And I told my friends that when they were asking, like, you know, I'm like, well, I know Eric is vested here.
And who said, life is like 80% of showing up. And it's that's kind of, the easy part. And this is coming from an introvert. It's like, I definitely appreciate the time at home at the end of the day to recharge. But when you're a community figure, it's the expectation that you attend those events. It's the expectation that you will be listening to people. It is expected of you. It's not in the job description, but that is the expectation.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I like that expectation. I think that's something that we should expect of our community leaders. I don't want someone with their hands on the levers of power who doesn't understand the needs of Sunnyside Hill, the needs of Military Hill, how downtown is different than Bishop Boulevard. Like, you know, you need to get out there.
No, 100%.
So I'm kind of curious, what surprised you about city council? Like, you went into it educated, but once you actually had that seat, what was different than you expected? Or did it go exactly how you
planned? No, life never goes that way. Well, I'm just trying to think, because I knew it was going to be a tough job. I knew that, you know, power is sometimes easy to get, harder to maintain. And I think there was just a little bit of a mismatch on how much the time requirement would be. A lot of folks don't know that city council is not a full-time job. I've been asked multiple times, like, do you do it for full time? And it's like, no, this is part time. I work 40 hours at, you know, Spokane Falls Community College. And I think the time expectation, we talk about events. Pullman, Whitman County is very active. We have a lot of nonprofits. We have a lot of events. I can't attend every single one, even though I want to. And I have to get beyond that guilt of not being able to attend every event. And I think even now, which is, I think, why you're doing this series, is I feel like people are more vocal on their dissatisfied they are with the system. And they're more, rightly so, they're more empowered to talk to their local official in a way that expresses their opinion. But also, I feel like the respect. There's a lot of respect that has definitely degraded over the past few years. And I think I really struggled with just approaching it with gracious and patience and grace. And you get yelled at a lot. You know, you get a lot of emails that are all caps. And it's you think to yourself, well, how am I?
Always the sign of a well thought out.
Yes. And it's like. But at a point, you want to reply to that person. You want to make sure that they are feeling heard. You want to make sure they are feeling validated. So, you know, I have to compose a very mild, you know, email back just saying, you know, I hear you and stuff like that. So, yeah, bottom line, I think that's what really I'm still struggling with is just the emotional time and just the life work balance, I think.
Yeah. You said the time, you know, not full time, you know, it's part time and all that. Is that something that you wish was different? Do you wish that there was more resources available so it could be a full time? Is Pullman big enough to have full time counselors?
Maybe in a five, 10 years. I don't think so now. Definitely not now. I think we just need to have a better vision and focus of where we're going. I think we're trying to do a lot of things. And then as an individual, you have to balance that lifestyle, or else you're going to get voted out. So
you said something interesting just a moment ago. You said that you feel like respect for the council, I might be paraphrasing here, has degraded in the last few years.
Not just respect for the council. Yeah, respect for the council, but just I think respect for others who don't share the same opinion as you. And a lot of the time you're going to be represented by somebody who doesn't share the same opinion as you. Like me, where I represent all of Pullman, you know, I'm not going to be everybody's cup of tea. But in the perfect world, we'll be able to get over those shortcomings and say, you know, hey, we're all part of the same city. Let's move forward and work together. Now I feel like we're getting to where we don't even want to work together. I mean, you were showing me some messages earlier, and I think that just shows an example of how things have deteriorated. I think just the respect for each other. And I'd like to see us get back to that.
You know, when I look at national politics and the polarization, you know, blue versus red, I feel pretty helpless, just personally. I'm like, I don't think I can move that needle. But something that I find refreshing about local politics is that if you're doing it right, so much of red versus blue disappears.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because we can't print money. We can't do sweeping, you know, legislation that takes away people's rights. Like, really, this is about allocating local dollars for local needs. And I want to see us get back to that because it becomes a lot easier to interact with people. You don't have to check all the same boxes, right, when it comes to local politics. And if we would all realize that, I think we could get along a lot better.
Yeah. I think ultimately, bottom line, what city council is supposed to be in charge of is zoning, public safety, and taxes, I think, at its most basic level.
Yeah.
I think anything above that is above and beyond.
So you just passed the civics 101 question.
Yes.
I asked that question of the 8 candidates that I interviewed. I asked the question, what is city council for? And only one got it right.
Was my answer worth right? Or
oh, absolutely. Okay. Right? Because, I mean, at its fundamental level, it's pass laws and set the budget.
Yeah.
Right? And local laws are things like zoning and, you know, all the things you just mentioned. My fear, because I've seen this play out over and over again, is a lot of people think that once you get onto council, it's now your job to tell people what to do.
Oh, gosh.
Right? You know, and a surprising number of the candidates, when I asked them, they said the purpose of city council is to run the city. I just went, okay, what do you mean by it?
Yeah, that's a thing. That's a big
as the voice of experience. I'm not an elected official.
Yeah.
As the voice of experience here, you know, what can an incoming city councilor, because we're going to have several, what can they expect once they get this job?
And I'm not that experienced, only a year and a half. But it's like, I think what when I look at the candidates, you know, some are retired, but you really need to find and figure out how much time you're really going to dedicate to city council. There's a lot of folks with families. Serving the community takes away time with families, as you might know. And I think there is so much to do. There's so much possibility for us to do. And I think you can easily get overwhelmed in that possibility. So I'm somebody who loves SMART goals, specific, measurable, action-oriented, relevant time. And so it's just pace yourself, right? You have incoming city council member, you have 4 years, and take the time to talk to those who have been before you. Take the time to listen to your constituents. Take the time to care for yourself. It is a stressful time. I find I need a stiff drink at the end of the week more often than not. And I shared some of those experiences with some other council members. But you really do need to take care of yourself first, because that will come off as how you interact with your constituents.
Yeah.
And I think now that's probably something that incoming folks really, really need to remember.
If you could go back in time and talk to an earlier version of Eric to help prepare him for the role that you're in now, what advice would you give candidate Eric from Councilman Eric?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's not going to change from the previous question. I think I need to be easier on myself. I feel like there's just a lot at stake. I feel like the fabric of our democracy, not to ring the bells or anything, but I do fear like we are in a point in time where we're at a pivot point, or there's something going to happen here. It's, you know, people, the respect is degrading, where the polarization is just insane. But also, is where do I fit in all that? You mentioned how we can't solve everything, but be aware of what we can control over. I know you and I have talked about, I told you that I'm not an expert, but I do follow Stoicism, especially Marcus Aurelius and Seneca. And a core belief or a core principle of that is keeping in mind what you can control and having your own locus on control. Because if you're so preoccupied with what you can't control, that's just going to drive you insane. So that's what I would tell young Eric is, you know, you're not going to solve all the world's problems, but take a look at Pullman. It's a great city. Join a few community groups, get involved, meet great people, and really have a good life here.
Yeah. Yeah. What first motivated you to want to get involved, not just for this seat, but to run for office in general? What prompted you to say, like, I want to participate in this?
Yeah. Once I look, I'm a very different political person than I was back then. I think I started in the radical. I was. Bottom line, Bernie Sanders brought me into the political.
You're not alone there. There's a lot of people.
So I think when you asked that question, I think it was anger at the system, you know, a lot, which we see a lot now, obviously. But it was anger at, you know, a system that I felt promised me a quick 4 years out of college, the successful life, and that wasn't the case anymore. And so I think it started from a place of, you know, anger. I want to burn the whole system down, right? Everything's corrupt. It's all bad. But really, through that campaign, what a big part of the Bernie Sanders campaign was getting involved in the community. So I remember his first run, there was these barnstorms. And so his campaign would encourage you to have a local town hall at a school, or and people would come in and you would talk about issues that were relevant to your community. And I think that really saw me lead in the way into the local Democrats. Well, I met, you know, Carolyn Kress, Ann Parks, these just wonderful people who helped me kind of temper that anger, right? It's like, yeah, you're angry, but what are you going to do about it, right? What are you going to do about it? Are you going to just complain and make everybody miserable around you? Or are you going to channel that into something more productive? So I think I've come a long way. I feel like I'm more of a anti-establishment, middle-of-the-road Democrat more than anything else. I think we were talking about being talked down to, or some folks thought the city council was about like running the city and telling people how it should be. I definitely don't think that's what it is. It's about listening to people. It's about, of course, the zoning, public safety, and taxes. But I think ultimately it's about listening to people and finding common ground where we can work together. Yeah. That was a long-winded answer, but I think...
No, that's great. Yeah. That's great. Well, then look at the current election cycle. The primaries just happened. We think we know who's going to be what, down to 2-4, ward 1, 2, and 3. Then, of course, there's a county commissioner race and also school board. What advice would you give to these candidates coming in? Like, how can they prepare between now and taking office January 1?
So... we recently changed, between January 1? Oh my gosh. So like, because I was going to say prepare, read the board documents at least. Before, you know, for city council, we have 4 days. Yeah. Some of the materials is just
well,
really big.
Like I said, only one out of the 8 candidates I interviewed got the Civics 101 question right. And so I will say every single candidate that I talked to has a love for the community.
Yes.
And is running for what I would say big picture are the right reasons.
Yeah.
Right. Like I didn't meet a single one who was selfishly motivated, and I have no doubt of anyone's intentions. I did catch a little whiff of people who were like, man, if I can just get in that seat, everything's going to go great. Right. Just add me.
Yeah.
Right. I'll be the secret sauce.
I think we have some folks who are running for council who might, you know, think that it's a mayor position when it's, yeah.
They're running for mayor when they should be running for council.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, at first is they need to be watching, you know, they need to show up and watch city council. I mean, oh my goodness, I can't believe how many folks didn't, you know, I saw for the first time when they were running. You mentioned how their heart's in the right place and their vision is good. To me, that's a good start. I think that's where I was, right? That's where I was. I didn't know anything before I actually got in the position. I didn't know the ins and outs. I didn't know that I was going to take, you know, 5 to 10 hours a week just answering emails. But I guess showing up is probably the best advice I can give those folks. And I think a lot of them are doing that.
That's good to hear. Yeah. That's good to hear. Any thoughts on the race so far? Were there any surprises?
Surprises, I guess. Well, surprise and not surprise is how many people were running. I'm thinking back 18 years I've been in Pullman. There has never been this many people running. And I feel
half the time people run uncontested.
Uncontested, yeah. So that's my biggest fear. It's like, it should not be. When I was chair of the Democrats, it's like, we cannot leave uncontested. We need to give people a choice. But it's, you know, small towns, this happens way more often than people think, way more often than people think. I think in Tico, there's even some council spots that weren't even filled, right? So it's not.
That's not good.
Not good at all. Sorry if it wasn't Tico, but I know that some rural cities were like that. But yeah, I was going somewhere with that question, but it was like, yeah.
More people running than we've seen in a while.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And there's two sides. There's two sides of that coin. There's people that's like, yeah, I'm excited. I want, you know, I want to help steer Pullman in the right direction. But then there's also the other side where it's what I kind of take personally is they're unhappy with what council is going. They're unhappy with the direction it's going. They feel, rightly so, they feel like Pullman needs to pivot and make a change. And, you know, we've had, I think for lack of a better word, scandals, these past year, more than one. And so I think that's just expected to have this large field. And so I try to be generous and try to be happy with the field and how many people are running. But also it's like, well, what am I doing in my capacity in city council that people might not be happy about? And then also a lot of the things that people are unhappy about, I've only been on council for a year and a half. I'm not owning all of Pullman's issues, but I want to be there to help put in the right direction.
Yeah. So when you say like going in the wrong direction or people aren't happy with the direction, you know, some of those things are not things that council can hit the easy button on.
Yeah.
Right. Like a very common one I hear is the lack of blank type of shopping, right? City council can't just get us a Target.
No.
You know, get us an Asian fusion restaurant, get us a Red Lobster. Like that's not how that works, right?
Yeah.
And some people seem to be running on that of like, if I'm on city council, we're going to have a, you know.
Well, I hope that they're going to all these, you know, trade shows and stuff and talking to big businesses themselves and getting them to
single recruit. Single one of them is.
Because that's what it's going to, you know, that's what it's going to take. And I know we have a staff member here who's doing this, but our economic development person we only have one person, right? And so there's a limit to what he can do.
Right.
We were talking about just people seeing a pivot and people seeing Pullman going the right direction. I can't blame them. They're seeing empty storefronts.
Yeah.
They're seeing... you know, the Arby's business that's been there forever leave. And it's like, well, it wasn't our fault, but you can't say that, right? It's part of the holistic picture.
That Arby's is actually my earliest memory of Pullman.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I was in second grade, I was living in North Idaho and I was up here with my mother. I think we were doing a school field trip at WSU or something. And we pulled into the Arby's drive-thru and noticed a river of transmission fluid coming out from underneath our car. We broke down in the drive-thru of that Arby's in like 1991. And that was that's my earliest memory of Pullman. Had no idea I would live here and, you know, raise my family here decades later.
But how does it, but on that note, how does it make you feel that something with you have such powerful memories tied to is up and leaving? Doesn't it make you feel good?
I love my Big Beyond Cheddar. Like that,
I really nice meeting you guys. My husband works at the Starbucks just up the hill, and it's that would be our go-to.
Yeah.
Every the 2 for $5 deal. Totally.
So
yeah.
No, it's sad, but like, you know, these are, as a small business owner, I know there's macroeconomic forces that we can't hit the easy button on.
Yeah.
What gives me hope though is that when I was a student in the early 2000s, Moscow's downtown, which we all love to deify and say like, oh, Moscow's so, why can't we be more like Moscow? In the early 2000s, Moscow's downtown looked like our downtown today, right?
Yeah.
Like people forget that the vibrant Moscow that everyone's so jealous of did not happen overnight. And it didn't, you know, they didn't just snap their fingers and boom, all these businesses showed up. When I was a college student at U of I, we never went downtown. Now downtown Moscow is a very essential part of student life.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So that those relationships, they can shift and they can improve. And the town-gown relationship between WSU and downtown Pullman, it could be built. It's going to take years. It might take decades, but it is possible.
It takes time. And we talk about decades and stuff. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It will take decades, just like trust takes a lot of years to rebuild. And it's, you know, the quickest way to a dream is just hard work and time, right? It requires hard work. And I hope that these, you know, I know that these city council members who are coming on council are ready to do the hard work.
Yeah. So, you know, just looking at the nature of elections, I mean, my understanding is that you're not allowed to endorse a candidate, but, you know, do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah. And I want to correct you on that. You can endorse. I think it is up to the personal opinion as the, there's nothing in the RCWs or this city code or whatever that says you can't endorse. I think ultimately it is a political question.
I didn't know that. I thought that there was like a rule or something.
Nope. And in fact, when I was running for city council a couple of years ago, I forgot which one is, I was aiming and gunning for current city council members' endorsements. Yeah. So it is, I think it's just part of the election cycle game, right? Is you want support from community members who mean a lot, and endorsement does matter. Endorsements do matter.
Well, I don't know if this is the place to officially endorse anyone, but I'm curious if you could share, in your opinion, what are the attributes that make a good city councilor?
Oh, yes. Yes. And I think to me, it's like there's a good city council and there's a good human being. Right. I think it ultimately comes to listening. I think it ultimately comes to listening. I'm trying hard not to. I watched all of the ones. I'm trying hard not to steal who said loud listening or listen loud or one of them did. And it's like, I think it's ultimately you start there. And some of our brains are wired for solution solving. And so when you're listening to somebody talk about their struggles, we jump right into solution solving. Oh, I can set you up with this nonprofit group that it can help them fill this need or whatever. And in my experience, that is good. Solution solving is good. But when you're talking to somebody and they're telling you a story about the struggle, one, they want to be validated. They want to be validated first, and they want to be heard. And so that's where I start on almost all my conversations. And I think that would be the advice that I give most people who want to go into politics, you know, and seek a career in politics, is that the hard work is listening to people's stories, and then also working with people who you probably don't want to work with outside of politics. But listening first is one of the best skills that somebody seeking public office could have.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, just listening to the community right now, it's clear that people are not super satisfied with the level of stability that they're seeing and even some of the directions that they're seeing. You mentioned that we've had things that could qualify as scandals the last few years. You know, I think of maybe the most contentious one being the downtown project.
Gee.
I was fairly involved in that. You were a part of it too. What do you feel like we did well? And what do you feel like we could have done better with that whole process?
It was a very unique experience because I came in while it was kind of all the pre-work was done, right? And all of that stuff. And I was
like your fourth or fifth meeting when you guys voted on it, right?
Yeah. And so it was really... Yeah. And so when I...
February and May. Of,
yeah. Yeah. And so when I mean, it was a big part of my campaign. We were talking a lot. I was talking to a lot of business owners. To me, that was extremely important. And just to answer your question, I mean, the end result's a beautiful, not only a beautiful downtown, but also we have the utility structure, the infrastructure underneath all of that beautiful...
The toilets will flush and the water
is there. Yes. No leakage. We have the... the root damage that those trees, the concrete, I think ultimately we got the utilities and the infrastructure there, and then just a beautiful downtown that we need to make sure that, you know, we get people down there. I mean, hindsight is always 2020.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think the city could have done a lot better with, I know your role in it was a lot of the communication, but I think
later on,
but on the city communication side, we could have done a lot better in our intentions. We could have done a lot better in trying to, frame it as a revitalization downtown when it was really a infrastructure utility upgrade. I think all of that was, we could have been done better. But I like where we are right now. I think moving forward, trust building, especially with the businesses, are going to be a large part of what council needs to do.
Yeah.
Large part of what I'll be working with the chamber, with Pete Shinnidin. Really glad he's in that position. And just like I said earlier, trust building doesn't happen overnight. So
totally.
I think that's going to be something that I need to focus on. The council needs to be focused on moving forward, not just around the downtown project, but I think trust in the community, communication, transparency. And one of the big keys of this is our new city manager.
Oh, that's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge. And we'll circle back to that in a second. Yeah. With the downtown project, you were new in that seat.
Yeah.
And it was a very contentious time. I remember it being a packed house with people with a lot of thoughts and opinions. I believe the final vote for the contract was 5-2.
Yeah.
Does that sound right?
No votes.
Okay. Knowing what you know now with the benefit of hindsight, would you still have voted no?
That is a great question.
And if you don't want to answer, that's okay.
No. That is a good question. And it's tough. Because
the benefit of hindsight.
It is the benefit of hindsight. It's tough because it was a completely different story back then. And it was very personally, because Carla and I, we walked up and down downtown Pullman, and we heard specifically from the business owners. And the overall tone was they are not ready to go forward with this. And so I think, just looking back on it, my vote would be probably the same. And that's not because it would have been ending the project, but I think... Back then, I believed that if it didn't go forward, there was a different avenue.
Yeah.
That might be the case now, but I don't think I would have changed my vote just because hearing those stories of those businesses.
Oh, totally. Especially right after COVID.
Yeah. It's like, and how am I going to survive for 6 months? My goodness.
Right.
So, yeah, I think my vote would have been the same, but that's still saying I love the project. I'm somebody who's like, the vote happened, we move forward.
Yeah.
I'm supporting the project now because we voted for it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, I jumped in completely unprompted. No one asked for my opinion on that when I made my minorly infamous video about the project. but I did it because there was an information vacuum, right? And something that I'm still to this day frustrated with is the conversation about, there was no one willing to be honest about the situation with the trees. And, you know, we talked earlier about how nature abhors a vacuum. In a vacuum, people say stuff, and that may or may not be accurate. From an engineering standpoint, there was never a way to save the trees. And yet for a good 8 weeks, it was presented as a binary choice.
Yeah.
Keep them or not. And we actually spent money to have the engineers go back and try and, you know, get us a solution to save them when they knew at the time it was impossible. They knew at the time. But no one was willing to stand up and say that.
So yeah, just say the hard truth, right?
Yes.
Just say the hard truth.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm like, come on, someone has to do this. Okay, I'll make an explainer video. And I know I didn't do it perfectly. And I got a couple of small details wrong there. But the trees were never savable. And then when we finally dug up the roots, we saw just how bad it was.
Yeah, I remember you seeing the pictures.
The junction point between the old pipes and the new pipes were in the right-of-way of the trees. They were like, even if you did all trenchless piping, there was still no way to get at that junction without cutting the roots.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's having that honest conversation with people. And I think probably at the time, I didn't have that information just from the engineering that there was no choice.
Option A, keep the trees. Option B, cut the trees. And what a horrible thing to tell the public. We all like trees.
I know.
Nobody's anti.
I know. What a time.
a binary choice. You like cheese or don't like cheese.
It's terrible, right? It's like saying you can either live in a world with ice cream or never eat ice cream again.
I know.
Who would pick not have ice cream?
No, I chose ice cream every time. Every time. And I met, and the, I had, oh my goodness. And I love them, right? I say these comments out of a grace and patience, I would say. But I met with them multiple times, the tree group, and we just weren't getting anywhere. And I think it would have been better if, just like you said, we weren't provided with that false choice, false narrative.
Well, and truth be told, to get a significantly different outcome with that and not have the kind of understandable public outcry, you don't just need to communicate better in 2024. You need to go back to 2023. Years back, more public engagement needed to happen. And you know, there's nothing we can do about the past, but I'm hoping that as a city and as a culture, we're starting to turn a corner there.
I think, I think I'm seeing it.
I've seen more city Instagram posts in the last month and a half than I think I saw in the last year.
And so I think, and I hope it keeps with it, right? I think it keeps with it, and it's not just a product of the situation that we find ourselves in. But one of the classic examples is the Pine Street Plaza. I mean, I saw how many views that video had.
Right.
My goodness.
Yeah.
And it's just, people love infrastructure, as you probably know. And it's like having videos of that, the city can be way more proactive.
Totally.
And I think Megan at the city is doing a great job.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. I was like, whatever you're letting Megan do, just keep doing more.
Yeah.
Please. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And you gotta be funny. You gotta make a fool of yourself sometimes. So I love her maps with the drawing.
With the hand drawn. Yeah. Those are hilarious. But I mean, also if you wait till you're in a crisis to communicate, you've lost the trust of the people.
Yeah.
If you have to do this consistently and upfront so that you have a platform when something goes wrong.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, my big regret with my involvement with the project. I'm very grateful I got to do what I did. But when things started to go a little tricky, things started to go behind schedule with the timeline, we weren't allowed to tell people about it. And we lost the trust of the people. And I would really wish I could get that back.
Yeah.
Because there was a moment there where we could have kept momentum and kept trust. And we dropped the ball.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, shout out to all the engineers. They did a great job. Everyone, all the individuals working on the project. This is more of a cultural thing.
100%. And culture, in my opinion, culture, workplace, city starts, in my opinion, with leadership. It starts kind of with the top heads, which is why I'm really focused on getting a good, you know, city manager to help move Pullman forward.
Well, let's talk about that. You know, top down, do you feel like we are trending in a good direction when it comes to setting that good tone?
It's hard to take a step back because I feel like we might still be in the middle of it. I think we're still doing that work. And so I don't know if I can answer that question right now. We talked about seeing some good signs just in communication and stuff, transparency, kind of lifting back the curtain on what happens in the mayor's office or city hall and that sort of thing. I feel like we're trending in the right direction, but I don't know if we're there yet.
I definitely don't think we're there yet.
No, we're definitely. And it's not someplace that like, okay, we're there, right? Yeah. We don't need to do anything. It's something that requires constant improvement, constant looking at the different media channels that are out there. How are we going to, approach our constituents? Where are they at? Are they on Nextdoor? Are they on Facebook? TikTok is one of the biggest. Most people are getting news and information for TikTok right now. I don't think the city has a TikTok account, but it's about getting our message and narrative out there.
Yeah. Well, today is August 9th. As of now, the city manager position is not filled, although we have met some candidates. Tell me, what do you want to see in the city manager? What are some of the attributes that we need to have in that office to help move things forward and put the culture in a positive direction?
Yeah, I think there's kind of stuff. There's might be two sides of that. It's kind of what staff wants, and they've been very open of kind of what they want, and then also what the city wants. The city wants somebody who is going to be an agent of change, somebody who creates a culture of getting to yes. I think previously some of the leadership, it's been when you know someone's really excited, they want to tell the city about their idea, the first answer is no, or we can't do that.
Sure.
And so it's a culture change. It's about listening first. I mentioned that our brains are wired for problem solving, and so I think that leads to us saying no sometimes when we don't think it's possible, but we need to create a culture of yes. And I think that having a city manager who is going to be basically the chief of staff for the mayor, is going to be the charge of all the leadership development of all the departments.
Essentially a chief operating
officer. Exactly, exactly. He's going to be talking to a lot of constituents. And frankly, they want to see a different type of city manager than maybe we've done before. They want to see somebody who invests in themselves, they want to see somebody who will invest resources in leadership development. They want to see folks who don't micromanage. And then the constituents and people want to see somebody who will change that culture, get to a culture of yes, be more transparent, kind of pivot, for lack of a better word, and rise to the occasion of this, where Pullman's moving in this different direction.
Yeah. Awesome. So we're in a situation right now, we're about to fill maybe the most important position in our city staff. And then we're about to fill 3 council spots.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So there's a lot of dominoes to fall here in the next few months. Right?
I'm excited.
Though, you know, what I'm really excited about is for trust to get rebuilt so that we can stop being in crisis to crisis.
Gosh, yes, please.
Right? And we never want an electorate that just rubber stamps or signs off on whatever the government's doing. We don't want that. We want an engaged electorate, but also enough trust to ask the hard questions and not just jump to conspiracy.
Oh, gosh.
Right? If we could, I would consider that progress.
Yeah, but if we could, minimum progress is not jumping to conspiracy theories. Yes, yeah.
That needs to be
attainable.
Yeah. That is the bar that I'm hoping we can clear, is that can we just have one conflict in this town where people are not assuming that, you know, someone accepted a bribe, or that there was a backroom deal, or that, you know, someone has a nefarious position. You know, like, even just looking at the library, you know, what a great win of us getting the library aligned on a more sustainable footing with its incorporation papers. There was a conspiracy rumor behind that. And I'm like, can we, and that was a paperwork thing. Yeah. That wasn't even, there was no money involved. It was just paperwork, right?
Yeah. And I don't, yeah. And it's that, that's funny. That does sound like a bar that shouldn't be too high, but even so, I feel like we struggle sometimes to reach that bar. I feel like it's just also just in terms of government and just how the average American relates to government. I feel like conspiracy theories and distrust of the government is so American. I feel like. I just feel it is so
USA.
Yeah, exactly.
We're the best at it.
Yeah,
we're the best at conspiracies.
It's great. And so it's like, I think I don't ever see ourselves giving away. Like, if those are never going away, you're always going to get those community members who there's always something. And if that wasn't on camera, I'd probably say those names because we all know them. But it's. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I think it's just something that it's always going to be. But to your point, getting to a point where our communication structure tries to minimize that in the best way possible, I think that's something good to strive for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are some of your pet issues here that you are wanting to address? Not necessarily vague ones, but you're like, man, I'd really like to see trust restored with blank. You know, for me, I'm always looking at that communications portion, and I have a passion for public works. So I love that right now they're starting to announce things sooner and talk about, like, hey, we have a broken water pipe. You know, we're seeing progress there. But there's a lot of examples like that, things where there isn't a lot of trust. Well, what are some of your issues that you're hoping to see improvement on in the coming years?
In the coming years, yeah.
Or months, or maybe you'll fix it next week.
Yeah. I might be struggling with this because I don't see it, you know, trust. I don't see it as pertaining to a certain issue. I just see it as you trust this somebody or you don't. Not I trust this person around economic development, or I trust this person. So me, it's just flatline trust. And it starts with meeting people where they're at. I think trust in terms of, maybe to answer your question directly, restore trust in making Pullman economically viable, I think would be a good one. I am currently in the works of bringing back it's not going to be a vacant building ordinance, but it's going to be some form of, I would like the city in some capacity to keep track of vacant buildings in order to maybe match them with potential tenants or whatever. We don't have that information. We don't. And so
we're not even talking about penalties or taxes.
No,
we're talking about having a list.
100%. And I think,
wow,
this is when we brought it.
Good place to start.
Yeah. When we brought it to council, when it was brought to council first, it was like, okay, if you're not, you have to have a fee. You have to keep up the facades. You have to make sure that the building looks nice, and then, you know, what constitutes look nice, that would get messy. But minimum, I would like to see at least a list, and then a plan, a list, and also contact information for the business owner. I mean, some of these business owners don't even live in the area. I've heard specifically from staff that they have a hard time contacting them. How are we supposed to film a tenant in that building if we can't even get in contact with the building owner? And so having maybe a contact list that of the business owner, that if even if there's an emergency, we can contact them. And then also a list that can help maybe pair the list and work with a community group, realtors or whatever, that can help find a tenant for that. So it's just very basic stuff. When it came to Council Legacy River, it was very punitive. And I think that was the wrong approach. We need to make it more like we want to work with these businesses to find tenants.
I like that.
Yeah.
You mentioned that trust is trust, you know, zooming out. What's it going to take to restore trust in our city government?
I see it as it happens on the individual level in terms of council members, mayor. I cannot coach how I was going to say who I thought was going to win, but I can't coach who I think is going to be a city councilor. I can't tell them you should be meeting with constituents every time to listening to them. I feel like it's like everybody needs to do their part. And my part is being available for people, talking to them at their level, not waiting for them to come to me, but going to them, meeting them at Neil's, Thomas Hammer, Rico's, whatever. And I feel like if everybody did the minimum what I do, I think it would be a good direction to help improve that trust.
Yeah.
But we have, I can't judge. I mean, I can judge, but not every council member is going to want to put in that amount of time.
Sure.
Not every council member is going to see things the way I see stuff. But that's how I see the solution is you have to do the best you can as an individual. I think it goes back to what I have control over. Mm-hmm. I don't have control over what the mayor does. I can talk to him and try to work stuff, right? But ultimately, they're their own person. So I tend to focus on what I can do in order to build trust, and that's be available for my constituents.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel like there was a moment in time when we lost trust with the city, or was it more of a slow burn?
That was definitely a slow burn. I think it goes to, when we talked about it, it was years kind of in the making. Just we haven't had that communication network. We haven't had that stuff. We haven't had somebody on communications the way we have now. And so this is a long time bubbling up, and it's going to take a long time to rebuild it.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being a part of it.
Yeah.
What do you see when you think about the future of Pullman, or what's the Pullman that you hope to see, or we get to build together in the coming years?
I love this question. And it's because it's like, and when you talk about kind of vision, I want to close my eyes and it's like, well, what do I see? I see like a path to downtown. I see, a big farmer's market. I see, oh my gosh, a bypass, possibly Bishop. I see Main Street being shut down and having a farmer's market on there.
Shut down to car traffic.
Yeah, but car traffic, yeah.
Full
yeah.
pedestrian.
Yeah, absolutely. Not shut down, but shut down to car traffic. I see a more regional approach to the solutions. Maybe it's around housing, economic development. I see more working together with our partners. Somebody mentioned, I think it was like a quad city approach. I think that would be very, very interesting. More compassion towards one another is my vision. I think, I'm hoping that we can get there, but politics I feel like is really nasty. And so I think that's my vision is just, as a community, we have good bike lanes. I mean, maybe we can highlight more of our railroad routes. I love what they're doing with Puffer Belly Depot. We really ought to heart a railroad town. So I think that's a little bit about my vision. And what I always do is what is my place in making that vision happen?
What is that place? Like, what are you excited to tackle personally?
I think what we talked about, I'm really excited about kind of what I have control over, the vacant building ordinance. We have three humongous potential capital projects in the future, a library, police, and fire. Fire is going to be huge. And so it's going to take all hands on deck, all community. If we want to be able to fund a third fire station, if we want to be able to staff that fire station, if we want a second story on Neil Public Library. The revenue currently is not there. It is not there. And
I think I read just this week that Moscow, which is a town of 25,000, has a budget of, I think it was $115 million a year. We are a community of 35,000 and our budget is 90,000 or 90 million.
Yeah.
Like we're a bigger community with a smaller budget.
Yeah. And so I think what I made some headway is we are going to have the revenue conversation. Where is the extra revenue going to be? And I'm not saying the T word taxes because that's, you know, that tends to freak
people. But let's face it, if those vacant buildings were filled with thriving businesses, I mean, that's increased revenue right there.
That, yeah, the way too. So it's going to be a multifaceted approach. Obviously, we don't want to raise taxes for anybody. But there is large gaps in revenue. And unfortunately, one or two businesses in downtown aren't going to be able to solve the issue.
Right.
So, you know, I think I'm having those big conversations with who I feel are community stakeholders, unions, and longtime community members, because we have next year, it's going to be really tough. And I'm excited to be working with kind of new city council members to kind of hear their ideas of how we're going to address those budget shortfalls. I mean, it's...
And that is the work of lawmaking,
mm-hmm.
right? That's the tedious part of coming up with codes for all the things you were talking about, because there is no easy button.
No.
Right?
I want that easy button. Where is it at?
It doesn't exist, you know? I mean, we need a third fire station. We used to have a third fire station.
Yeah.
It was up at WSU.
Yeah.
And then WSU decided they didn't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Pullman had to absorb that without more revenue.
Without any money. Yeah. Funny how that works.
Right? So we need a new fire station. The problem is the cost of staffing and building that is about what we spend on our library every year. And I don't know about you, but I'm not about to trade off our library. I love the library.
No, and cities, municipalities, that's kind of their biggest expense is safety, is going to be public and fire.
Police and fire.
Oh, sorry. I don't want to say public. Yeah. Yeah. Police and fire. And rightly so. I mean, I want to be able to provide the salary and the pay for that type of job. In my opinion, we are understaffed right now for the firefighters. So the conversation we need even before the third fire station is how we're going to staff our current levels. We have a two-person EMT. It's on the recent apartment fire. We had a reserve person that was able to do a three-person truck. And my goodness, that made a difference. That made a difference having that extra person. And the standard, from my understanding, the standard is having four people in a truck. And we're running two. Oh my gosh. And so I'm just thinking of the numbers here. It's like, we want to get to a third fully staffed fire station. Yeah. There's some math there, maybe in the million, I mean, that's missing. And so I'm focused that what's taking a little, you know, what's making me anxious is those big questions for next year.
Yeah.
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 Because it's coming.
It is coming. What do you think it's going to take? Knowing there's no easy button, but thinking the long game, right? Even beyond your term on council.
Oh, yeah.
100%. Right? 10 years, 20 years, knowing that the decisions we make today are going to have this ripple effect. You know, what do you think we need to do so that Pullman can prosper decades into the future?
I think everybody's going to have a different answer to that, but I fully believe in leadership. I just believe that leadership matters. Obviously, you know, the code and the zoning that council passed, that matters. But having the right person at the right time, in my opinion, makes all the difference.
Yeah.
And I think having somebody with a vision that can help bring, that can see where Pullman is in 10, 20 years and doesn't get caught up in the day-to-day drama is what we need. And I feel like I'm part of that story. I feel like we've had some amazing mayors. We've had some amazing previous city council member. I'm part of this story of WSU and all those names and folks associated with that. And I feel like having the right leadership is not going to be a problem with Pullman in the past, but maybe just in the future, but maybe just, yeah, just finding the right people. So I think, bottom line, I feel like Pullman will be in good hands no matter what. You mentioned how a couple of years, decades ago, Moscow was like this, and then Pullman was like this, and then maybe it'll switch it. But that's just kind of what life and what's it all about. It's in waves.
Yeah.
But I think it's leadership in what I and how I see is just such a key part in what makes a business successful, the culture. And so when you have the good leaders at the top, that affects the culture of the whole organization. And, you know, we're going to get a new city manager, three new city council members. Those are a couple folks right there that can help change the culture in the right direction.
Yeah. I'm optimistic about the future of Pullman.
I'm so optimistic. And in fact, I think I'm to the point I'm optimistic where my friends are annoyed
with me because I always try to see the silver lining and stuff. But
Pullman has been so good to me, and I want it to be good to other people.
Yeah.
I want other people to have my similar story.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. If people want to get in touch with you, how can they connect? I mean, you represent not just one ward, but the whole community.
I know, I have them all, so I'm lucky. I'm always available via email. Better way to get a hold of me is text my, not my personal number, I'm not going to share that, but my number for city council.
Yeah.
I'm way more responsive to text, emails. It's very tediousome. Entire 7-day answer sometimes. So if you want to get a hold of me, they can text me on my city council number. Also, I am putting together a kind of, for lack of a better word, an advisory panel that can meet with me maybe every month and kind of steer and help me with kind of the legislative stuff and the ordinances that I want to bring
to the council. Tell me about that. Are you looking for people to join?
Yes, 100%. I'm looking for different types of stakeholders. I've already approached a few. This has been a project of mine for about since I got here, but I have not been able to make it come to fruition. It will be here in the next few months. I already have a few people on board, but we talked about bottom line. This job is part-time. Obviously, I have a full-time career. I can't, being the at-large, I can't pay attention to everything. It is hard to pay attention to everything that's going on in Pullman. So I really need a good group of folks who can help me fill in those blind spots. And if folks who are watching this, if they feel like there can be one of those people, feel free to reach out.
Nice.
All I ask is that you approach it with, respect of other people's opinions and grace and patience like I do.
Love that.
Yeah.
One last question. If one of your constituents wanted to get together for lunch to talk about an important issue, what's your go-to favorite lunch in downtown Pullman?
Go-to favorite lunch. Well, I am a sucker for Pizza Perfection's Lent special.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my gosh. I sometimes leave campus just to go, just to go down, but I can't deny Porchlight Pizza, the Silk. It's been a staple of mine ever since Porchlight came to fruition. So also the taco truck on Tuesdays. So any one of those places, I'm so game to meet. But mostly probably Porchlight. I do a fair number of meetings at Pups and Cups as well. I love what Quinn and Angel are doing over there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
If anyone out there wants to get together with their at-large city councilor, get in touch with him and come downtown for lunch.
Yeah.
Eric, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you for doing this. And my goodness, next week's Lentil Festival, this week's move-in weekend, Pullman's just going to start getting busy.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.